Blog Talk Radio.
Blessings and glory.
bless you. This is Pastor Kim, and I am grateful to be in the presence of the Lord on today or on this evening. We thank God for being here. Oh, give me a second. Somebody is texting me about this, what I thought was the Bible study. But God bless you. I thank God for this Wednesday night Bible study. This is Pastor Kim from Vision of Hope. And we're located at 5105 Reagan Drive in the heart. When I say the heart, I mean in the heart of Charlotte, North Carolina. I'm grateful to God for all of the blessings that he has bestowed upon us. Our Sunday school, our Sunday services are as follows. We have Sunday school beginning at 9:30 a.m., and then we have regular Sunday service beginning at 10 a.m. We also have a Bible study, Bible Basics Bible study class, which is running for 6 weeks at 10 a.m. on Saturday morning, and you can definitely get in on this class if you come this Saturday at 10 o'clock, running for 6 weeks, and we have 5 weeks left. So we thank God for his goodness. Again, I am grateful to God, and everybody's calling me right now like I'm in the middle of Bible study. So let's just begin with prayer. Father, we thank you for your love, your mercy, your kindness, and your grace. We thank you for how you have blessed us on this week, how you have kept us, how you have covered us. God, we thank you for new mercies each and every day. We thank you for new revelations. We thank you for how you just continue to bless us, Lord. As the old folks used to say, if I had 10,000 tongues, I couldn't thank you enough. And so we thank you, God, because you do so much for us. Hallelujah. Thank you for how you watch over us. Thank you, Lord, for how you shield us and protect us in this crazy, evil world that we live in. Oh, yes, I said it. In this world in which we live, we thank you, hallelujah, for how you shield us and you cover us and you protect us as we go about our day-to-day business. Lord, we ask you to remember those who are on the prayer list, Father. We ask you to just cover them from the crown of their head to the sole of their feet, Lord. Shield and protect, Lord. Heal and deliver, God, in the name of Jesus. And we're going to be so careful, Lord, to give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank God. Amen. And I'm just sending out just a special prayer to the families, the young people, and parents, single parents everywhere. I'm asking God to really touch, heal, and deliver. I called a parent yesterday, and mother began to get on the phone and cry. I was on the phone with that mother for over an hour, and she was just having a hard time. I went from teacher mode to minister mode, just trying to encourage her because she was ready to give up her children. She said, I don't know what I'm going to do because this is the oldest one. If the oldest one is acting like this, I have 5 children. And if the oldest one is acting like this and I can't handle this, I'm ready to give them all up. Then I talked to someone else today who gave their child. I was looking for a student and one of the other teachers said they gave the child up. The child was 16. They turned the child over to the state. Child had to leave the home and go into a group home because the parent just could not do anything else with them. So I'm asking God to just touch parents, touch the youth. Those of you who know me know that I have a heart for young people, and I'm just asking God to just give us as a ministry divine direction on how we can continue to reach out to children, youth, and their families because they need help. You know, we hear that saying, it takes a village to raise a child. It takes prayer. It takes prayer and more prayer. And so I'm asking God to just continue to touch and heal and deliver. I'm going to talk to you tonight about a few things you know, we always have these cliches about God, and we know that God is real. But I want to help you put it in perspective. Psalms, the 14th chapter, says, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable work. There is none that doeth good." So this scripture lets us know that there is a God consciousness in everybody. And the more we try as a society to move this God consciousness from people, the more horrible the world gets. My God, from Zion. When did we go from, and I'm really off task tonight, but when did we go from sexual preference to gender? Because your gender has nothing to do with your sexual preference. What are you talking about, Pastor Kim? I'm talking about a person using the restroom. You're using the restroom according to your gender, not according to your sexual desires or sexual preference. And so now, because people have perverted the society and turned things around to such a twisted degree, and I'm trying to use my words wisely, that now we're carrying things over that are going on in the bedroom. Now we're putting them out in public and causing other people to have to succumb to what people desire to do. Are you listening to me? I hope you're understanding what I'm trying to say. What a person does in their private home, that's their business, whether it is right according to the word of God or wrong according to the word of God. That is their business and their desire. But that does not have to be perpetuated and flaunted and forced out into public. I thank God that the powers to be have at least tried to put some restraint by saying transgender people. But who's going to, I mean, who can say? How can that be proven? That someone is transgender publicly. There's not going to be anyone checking the restrooms to see who's transgender. So I just wanted to touch on that a little bit. I went way off task, but I'm just trying to show you how far we have gotten away from the rights and the wrongs and the goods and the bads and the morals. We're meshing everything together. And the crazy thing about it is we're picking and choosing what we're meshing. So I'm asking God to give us as a nation mercy, as a nation mercy. And I'm going to leave all the, I'm going to leave the rest of it alone. I just wanted to talk to you again, Psalms 14. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. I want to talk to you just briefly about remembering that God is good, remembering that God is real, remembering that he loves us. Don't just let it be a religion. Don't let it be a cliche, a pattern, a habit, something you grew up with, something that you just say to be saying. A question was asked to me, what would I hope that my children would remember? My God, help us today, Holy Ghost. If I wanted my children to remember anything, what would it be? And I began to just think about that and begin to jot down some answers to that question. If I could leave my children with anything, you know, and I'm not leaving this world, not going anywhere, but things that I want them to remember beyond the shadow of a doubt, to help them through life, if by some chance or reason I wasn't around, what would that be? And I came up with a few things. I'm not going to be able to tell them all. The first thing I put was, I want them to know that God is real. Hallelujah. God is real, children of God, beyond a shadow of a doubt. God is the only one that can take something and change it instantly. Are you listening to me? If you've ever had an experience or an encounter with God, if your mind has ever been changed, if your attitude, your direction has ever been changed, if you've ever wondered, questioned, asked God to show you something, and he showed up, and you know he showed up, and you know it was him, then nobody can talk you out of knowing, hallelujah, that God is real. Paul said, what shall separate me from the love of God? Hallelujah. Be it height, depth, nothing shall separate me. So no matter what I go through or have to go through, do I want to go through? No. But even if I do, I know that my God is real. Hallelujah. Just as much as God is real, his son Jesus is real. He sent his son as an act of love for us. Children of God, know that Jesus is real. He loves us, and his mercy endureth forever. Hallelujah. The Bible says the heart of a king is in his hand. God can change the mind of a king. He can change the mind of a leader on your behalf. He can set the stage so that when people have authority over you, when you come into their presence and in their being, he can set the stage so that they have mercy on you, so that whatever decision they were going to make concerning you, they will change their mind. Oh, I know it to be true. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I know it to be true. This is something that we don't think about, but the Holy Spirit is real. When we think about the Holy Spirit, a lot of times people think about goosebumps. They think about, hallelujah, when we get overwhelmed in church, we think about speaking in tongues. But the Holy Spirit is the living action. Jesus is the word, the mouthpiece. The Holy Spirit is the action. The Holy Spirit is real. And just as much as we talk to our Lord and Savior, we talk to our God in the name of Jesus, we can talk to the Holy Spirit as well. Hallelujah. For Jesus said, I go away, but I'm sending you a comforter. And the Holy Spirit is the comforter. Oh, yes, he is. The Holy Spirit will comfort you. He will enter your presence if you just call him. When you think about him, when you're lonely, when you're upset, when you call on him, he will enter your presence. Keep the word of God close to you always. The word of God is powerful. It is God's word. He does not lie. His word does not come back void. So we need to keep the word of God. If I would want my children to remember anything, I would want them to remember the word of God. Hallelujah. The next thing I want to say, and I think I'm going to end here, we can pick it up next week, is to walk in forgiveness. Always remember to walk in forgiveness. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I feel the presence of the Most High God. We need to learn, hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus, to walk in forgiveness. Just as much as we want to be forgiven, we ought to forgive. God knows every person that I've wronged. I can't go to every person that I've wronged and ask for forgiveness, because some people that I've wronged, I don't even know. Some I don't even remember. So we have to learn how to walk in forgiveness. Now let me say something to you. Forgiveness doesn't always mean you will forget. I know people say forgive and forget. No. Forgiveness does not always mean that you will forget. But the pain and the stigma of what is being forgiven won't hurt anywhere near as much if you forgive. Just think about slavery. Slavery is, we have the saying, history forgotten is history repeated. Slavery has been forgiven. When you talk to people about slavery, it's been forgiven, but it hasn't been forgotten. Even when you talk to young people today, they know about slavery, but the stigma of what it represents does not have the same meaning for each generation. They know about it. They understand it to some degree, but they're more willing to forgive. Are you listening to me? So it doesn't always mean we have to forget, but the pain is not as bad once we forgive. Now listen, forgiveness, that's why I said I have a couple of points to make about forgiveness. Forgiveness doesn't always mean that things return to normal. Just because you forgive, it doesn't mean that things are going to return to normal. Hallelujah, Jesus. When a criminal is forgiven in the courtroom by the family of the victim, they get up and they say, "We forgive him, we forgive her, we ask the peace of God to be over them and to bless them. We just want them to know that we want them to be healed and be made whole." Whatever it is that letter says, as they speak with tears rolling down their face about their loved one who was killed at the hands of this predator, they forgive so that they can walk in love and so that they can move on, recognizing that this person needs help beyond help, healing beyond healing, and wholeness beyond wholeness. But the judge doesn't say, "Okay, since you are the family of the victim and you've forgiven, all is well." The judge doesn't say that. Just because something is forgiven does not mean that things return back to normal. Once again, forgiveness frees you, not even so much, it frees you from the pain, maybe a little bit, but more importantly, it frees you from what comes after the pain. Because you can still have pain and forgive, but if you don't let go, if you don't forgive, then that pain can turn into something really, really, really deeper. Have you ever picked a sore? As I was thinking about this, the poem by Langston Hughes came to me. What happens to a dream deferred? Does it dry up like a raisin in the sun? Or does it fester like a sore, then run? The pain, what comes after the pain, is the bitterness, the hardness of heart. You know, if you pick at a sore, it becomes pussy. The scab doesn't heal. You gotta put another Band-Aid on and let the scab heal again. And then sometimes things develop called keloids, where it becomes really, really hard, and they have to be surgically removed. Well, what happens in the flesh happens in the spirit. When we don't let things heal, when we don't forgive, then that thing festers, it hardens, it turns us bitter. Have you ever run into a person 2-3 years later, you haven't seen them for a while, you see them 6 months from now, they're still talking about their same pain. You see them a year from now, 2-3 years from now, they're still talking about their same pain. Now, they're not talking about it in the context of victory and a testimony, but they're talking about it in the context of they're still at the place of that pain, still there at the place of that pain. They're not talking about, "Oh, God blessed me, God delivered me, God healed me. Ooh, yes, I thought I was going to lose my mind, but God delivered me and brought me out. Hallelujah." They're not talking with the voice of victory. They're talking with the voice of pain and bitterness. We have to walk in forgiveness. Otherwise, it's going to be hardened, and it's going to really, the walk is going to be hard. Everything that you do is going to be hard because that pain is like having a splinter underneath the nail. It's there. You can't see it, but God knows it's there. So walk in forgiveness, church. Walk in love. Love covers, but it doesn't smother. Love submits. It doesn't overpower or subject. Subjection is an overpowering. It's a standing over you, forcing you to do something. The Bible doesn't say subject. The Bible says submit. Why submit yourself? Submission is humble. submission. You will willingly submit to somebody who's nice, who's loving, who's kind. Submission, love is a submissive thing. Love is not selfish. It's not dogmatic. It's a mender. It doesn't break. Remember, if you're going to forgive everybody else, then please remember to forgive yourself. Please remember to forgive yourself. Forgive yourself. And one more thing. The Lord said, I come to give you life and give it to you more abundantly. Remember to be happy. Hallelujah. That song, I'm Happy, went viral. Remember to be happy. Sometimes that's a choice. Sometimes you have to choose to be happy. Just like you might choose to be sad, choose to be upset, choose to be depressed, choose to be angry. Choose, ha, hallelujah, to be happy. Choose to be happy. Choose to be happy. Think on the bright side. Is your cup half full or is it half empty? I give glory to God today. I honor him. I worship him. I praise him. When I think about how he's blessed me and how he's kept me, I know I couldn't make it without him. Hallelujah. I know I couldn't make it without him. Are you listening to me? I absolutely know that I could not make it without the true and living God in my life. And I'm grateful for him. Thank you, Lord. I hope that you've been blessed. If you have any questions or comments, you can hit 1 and I'll let you in. But I just wanted to encourage you today, this evening, to remind you beyond a shadow of a doubt that God is real. He's real in your life. We ought to count it joy that he will speak to us in this big, I always think about that, in this big United States, the state of North Carolina, and 49 other states, then the 7 continents and all the countries that go with them, the universe, the stars, all of that. Ha! Glory to God. God will still speak to his children. Yes, he will. He will speak to you individually. Yes, he will. He will do it. And God knows I'm grateful for it. Thank you, Lord. I'm grateful for it. I love you today with the love of the Lord. Hallelujah. I see in you the beauty of my King. That's what the songwriter said. I love you with the love of the Lord, and I can see in you the beauty of my King. Hallelujah. I'm asking God to continually bless you, continually heal you, continue to give you your divine purpose, because we are here for a purpose. I'm asking God to continue to give you your divine purpose, continue to watch over you. Somebody just chimed in. I'm encouraging you to go to the archive and listen, because this has been a good, profound lesson. Once we're done, go to the archive and listen. I'm asking God to continue to bless you, heal, and deliver. I love you. Tune in next week. Hallelujah. 10 things you would want your child or your loved one to remember. I've tried to just think about that and share that with you tonight. God bless you. This is Pastor Kim from Vision of Hope Ministries in Charlotte, North Carolina, 5105 Reagan Drive, Suite 105. He's doing great things. Hallelujah. God bless you. And I'm signing off.